Hello, this is Janet Gowan welcoming you to Love Letters Live. Today's guest is so much fun, and I know this because she was so much fun last time. It's Naomi Raymon, and Naomi's a wonderful writer, and you're also a Pilates instructor?
Former
Pilates, so you're writing full-time now, pretty much.
I like how you think, yes.
Oh, good. Well, Yes. You're so good at it.
Thank you.
And say where your blog is.
My blog is writesbetterwithcoffee.com. And I write a lot. Whether I publish it or not, of course, is anyone's guess.
Okay, well, that could be down the line.
Yes.
But what you write about is so wonderful. I love reading it. You're a good writer,
Thank
and you,
you
talk about things that make me laugh and groan.
Thank you, Glenn.
So today, you had mentioned that you would like to talk about, or were willing to talk about, what happens when letters cross. Now, there are so many reasons to write love letters, and there's so many things that love letters serve. One of them is discovery. You find a letter you didn't know existed, and you discover things that you had no idea about yourself and your family. So do you want to just dive right in and talk about the letter that your half-brother, who so sadly died at, what, the age of 25, wrote?
That's correct.
Okay, your turn.
It seems, I'll just back up a second, and thank you for that.
Oh, back up a whole bunch.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that nice introduction. I am from a family, as we all are, from families of unique circumstances, but because I had a lot of loss in my life at a very early age, and...
Do you want to remind us a little what that is so we can keep track of why this letter is so important?
Sure.
Okay.
I lost my mother when I was 13. This was in 1966. And 3 months prior to her death, I lost this half-brother who was 25, yes, 12 years older than me. Shortly after my mother's death in early 1966, the woman, her sister, who... turns out, through letters, I discovered was, in fact, her mother, not her sister.
Oh, that's right.
We'll get back to that in a second in terms of letters. But she left me, basically, by leaving me a letter 3 months after my mom passed away. So it was a 1-2 punch to the gut. And I wonder... if such circumstances had occurred in today's world without having written records of any of this, how a youngster might process that. Somehow, when you see someone's curved handwriting on a willy-nilly on a piece of paper, you get a lot more than just the message. You see that it was... why they chose that paper, that pen.
Oh, yes.
Did they not think about this? And in my brother's case, his letter was not to me. It was actually meant for his wife, which, so the story is, essentially, my mother, I found this letter.
Now, he died when he was 25.
Yes, under circumstances which remain unclear.
Oh.
And perhaps they remain unclear for better or for worse.
Sure.
Not really sure. Could have hired a detective, could have Googled it, something. But I believe he died, I don't believe. He died on stage. He was a musician. And the circumstances are very unclear.
Okay.
Prior to that, my mother only saw him periodically because he was not allowed to live with us. My father and mother, I guess, came to an agreement early on that this young man, Michael, mm-hmm. was better off living with his maternal aunt.
Hmm.
And so my mother and I would visit him on occasion or go to his gigs, which in those days, in the early 60s, prior to the advent of the rock and roll era, he played essentially lounge acts in hotels, and my mother and I, was great fun, would travel up and down the California coast, she to go hear him, me to sit in a hotel room by myself at the age of 10.
Because you weren't allowed in the...
Right.
Oh, my goodness, because
you
they serve alcohol.
Exactly.
Huh.
But during the day, I'd see this great hunk of a kid, again, 12 years older than me, so he was tall, dark, and actually tall, redheaded, and handsome. Yes. I'm, to your listeners, short, redheaded,
and adorable.
Somewhat.
So cute looking.
Thank you. So I don't really know the nature of their relationship. You know, you process things quite differently when it's just your reality. You don't,
That's right. You
think about it, this is just how I grew up, was this crazy situation that I didn't know everybody didn't have. And one day a letter came from my mother, and it was addressed, the envelope was addressed to her, but the contents contained a letter that were obviously to Michael's wife.
Now, did you know her?
We didn't know he was married.
Ah, okay, go ahead. I'm jumping some gun here. Go ahead.
So he had to be about 22 at the time, just out of the service. And they were expecting a child.
Oh.
And he was writing, again, he was on tour or whatever you called it back then. He was on the hotel circuit.
Mm-hmm.
And he was writing to his love about this exciting time of expecting a child.
Do you remember the details of it, if I may ask?
I remember, of course, we didn't know where she was because the envelope was addressed to my mom,
mm-hmm.
which my mom then told me must have meant that a letter intended for her went to Michael's wife. In other words, I don't know if you've ever done what I've done, which is switched my quarterly tax payments, sent my federal to my the state and the state to the federal.
Oh.
It happens.
Oh, I see. They find you and sort it out?
So, no, yeah, they do. Uh-huh. It's like when I called, someone said, you think you're the first person to ever switch payments?
Oh, I see. Okay. So, wait. So I'm a little confused, of course, as you must have been for a large part of your life. I was assuming when you started out that he wrote this letter to his wife, and that she had it and then sent it on to your mother somehow.
No.
No. She never got it?
She never got it.
Who so got that, it?
My mother.
No, no. How did it get sent to your mother? You said it was in an envelope to your mother.
Yeah, so he obviously had written two letters.
Oh.
And switched that was my allusion to the
thank
federal
you.
Income
I'm a little slow
income
sometimes.
Tax. No,
okay.
Perhaps I'm not describing
okay.
it accurately.
So in other words, he wrote a letter to his mother and a letter to his wife and switched them.
Exactly.
Okay.
So then my mother, again, this is the brain of an 11-year-old for me, or 12, however old I was. I cannot place this particularly in terms of the timeline of, but I think it was about a year prior to my mom's death. And so this was truly a love letter that my mother received, which was indeed sad for my mother because of the secrecy of it, and that she had spent nearly half of this child's life separated from him. Which is a whole other story.
Yes, maybe you'll do that someday with us. But my question is, and I meant to ask it before, if I may, how old was he when it was decided he should live with his maternal aunt?
I was born 1951, so he was born 12 years earlier. In those days, when a divorced single then mother mm-hmm. needed child care and didn't have a lot of family to choose from, what did one do to support herself?
Okay.
So she went to work.
Oh, that's why.
And she found that his paternal aunt could care for him.
Okay.
So he essentially never lived with her. And then when my mother married my father some 12 years into his life.
Children often in the 40s, in those circumstances, when a father would die and the mother had to go to work, the children would be sent to an orphanage.
Exactly. And often and retrieved after...
Or seen on weekends.
Exactly.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, this was a home that my mother and I also took road trips to. I grew up in Orinda. Michael was stashed, if you will, in Los Gatos.
So
which might as well have been it might as well have been a boat ride away.
Sure.
It was so far away.
Yes.
It took us all day to get
to
Los Gatos.
Sure, without freeways then.
Yeah.
But so there wasn't bad feeling between anybody.
He was never anything but adorable with me.
But he was also loved.
He must have been.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
But I was adored.
By
my mother and certainly by my father. And the lack of, you know, where you're a mother, I'm a mother. I'm a mother of sons. I had and relished a closeness with them to the extent that one could be with one's child, fostered by that, you know, we used to talk about quality time together, but there's also something to be said for quantity time. Mm-hmm. And that would be driving the kids to the mall or fixing dinner or whatever. My mother didn't have that with mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. So Michael's interior life was must have been a complete mystery to her. And sure. then to discover this beautiful but poignant message and an oncoming grandchild that she couldn't even share in the
What did she do with this information?
She kept the letter, and the magnitude of the situation didn't grab me until I became a mother. But the letter, which I did not keep, by the way, because it just didn't seem
relevant to you at that time?
Perhaps. Mm-hmm. Perhaps. I don't know. But I can remember it. Mm-hmm. I can remember the stationery.
And you remember her name?
I remember her name was Carol.
You don't remember her last name?
No.
Oh, it didn't say maybe.
No.
Just Dear Carol. It addressed you. What
yes.
a mystery.
And then my mother thought, because that's how they communicated, you know, obviously, it goes without saying, no cell phones, and very rarely were there phone calls. Or if there were, maybe, Janet, I wasn't privy to the phone calls between
my
mother.
Well, long-distance phone calls then was a big deal.
Exactly.
You didn't do that casually.
Exactly. Perhaps.
And it was expensive.
Yes.
Whereas a 13-cent stamp, okay.
And there was also the conundrum of my father in the picture. He would only come visit when my father wasn't at home. You know, and my father was a loving, terrific man, so I've spent my whole life trying to reconcile this, and mm-hmm. it's sometimes better to not try to figure it out,
sure.
I guess. In any case, I think my mother was, oddly enough, what I remember from this whole situation was how my mother felt not only about receiving this letter to Carol, but how Carol must have felt reading a sort of chattery letter to his mom and never having met her, my mom
yes.
is. So it was, I would describe it as crushing to my mother.
I'm sure.
And I think, you have said something to me when we first met, and I've given this a lot of thought. You said, do you print out your blogs for posterity, for whomever, maybe my grandchildren, I don't. And I thought, no, you know, it lives forever.
No, it doesn't.
See, there you go.
Oh. Yes.
But neither do letters. I guess you have to be careful.
Well, they live longer than what goes on these devices.
If you get
really good paper and don't use the inkjet, use laser to print it out, mm-hmm. and then scribble a little something in your own handwriting in each one, and yes, keep it in a nice, what were they called, those kind of acid-free, safe. I've got letters that were written 100 years ago.
Wow.
And, I got a bunch of them in a flea market box. And they look like they were written last week. So they last longer
right?
than this.
Hmm. I do have a letter from 1917 that I did keep. My father wrote to his brother. And I kept it only because it was slightly off color. And I found it to be kind of, my dad was quite a raconteur. And I thought this was so indicative of his personality. Mm-hmm. But I was with my father until he died at 94. So somehow I didn't feel quite as cheated. And and perhaps it just felt like it was an extension of him. Whereas these letters represented less about the people who wrote them or who were intended
right.
to receive them than it did about the
yes.
the separation that I felt from these people who were my family and right. very
and they say a lot. They say a lot about the writer.
Yes, they
you
do.
Know what that person's willing to share.
Right.
So, is there any way? excuse me. Of finding this child, do you think?
I suppose.
Or are you mature enough that you could just let it go? Or
well, I
shouldn't use that word.
I don't know. I've given this a lot of thought because there are ways in which people delve through,
right.
especially now, delve through our past.
Right. And you don't know how intrusive that might be in this child's life or his wife's.
Right.
Sometimes it's a huge, beautiful relief to be found.
The child has to be about my age.
Uh-huh.
No.
A little younger.
A little younger.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I would do with that information. I don't know.
Right, okay.
And sometimes I feel like it almost feels sometimes to me as, did this really happen?
Sure.
Did this really happen?
I have a question, sure. and I'm just kind of jumping myself into this. If I were in your shoes, I would want to write a letter to this child just to say what I'm thinking and just mail it to yourself or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you have any desire to communicate with anybody here even though you can't find them or you don't know where they are?
I hadn't yeah. thought about it, but I think that that would be an interesting path to explore, I suppose.
And different than, talk about your blogs and the kinds of things you write about. Because we once talked about, well, one of your blogs talked about dating.
Hmm.
And was it a first date? Was it, I can't remember what it was now, but it was dating in the early 60s?
Could have been, early 60s would have been too early for me because I was born in 51.
That's right.
So, I don't recall that.
I read them all, and I just can't remember.
You have a lot of people to keep track of.
Yes.
I think the purpose of my blog is to tell stories. People who have read my blog refer to it as memoir. I didn't intend to set out to write. I didn't intend to write a memoir. In fact, I'm rereading a book called I Remember Nothing, Nora Ephron's book, which is terrific. And she says one of the things that people forget is true, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, is that editors and agents will often say that novel is better written as a memoir. I've thought about writing my family story in terms of a novel, just so I can make up an ending, flesh out these characters, rather than memoir. People who read my blog tend to think I should explore the memoir.
Well, you know, avenue. We have so many different titles for things now, depending on what publishers want and how things are defined. I mean, what would yours have been if you had written it in 1850? I'm just asking you. I don't know how memoir became such a huge thing recently.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, because memoir seems a little, can be a little...
Because there are books of essays that are wonderful.
Yes, and I feel like what I enjoy about the blog, for me, is that it's very immediate, that I can, it's not a huge nut to crack, and then I get feedback right away. And I love the feedback, because people also have stories, and when you're perhaps imparting your story on verbally, you don't, present company excluded, you don't get that sort of give and take of other people's stories or how that one note that you referred to reminds someone, your
yes.
reader, of something, and bingo, you've got a conversation.
Oh, also, you're very easy with the truth. I mean, you were talking about, like, personal hygiene at one point and personal care that was just a total groaner. And, you know, those kind of things that every teenage girl and grown woman would certainly identify with.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yes, you're easy to identify with.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
So that makes you really easy to read and something to look forward to.
Thank you.
Okay, well, you should all, people, listen to, read Naomi's blog. It is so much fun. Okay.
Thank you
for doing this with
appreciate
me.
Appreciate you having me on.
And if ever you, if ever you find this woman or decide to write to her and send it somewhere. I mean, there are stories of letters that have been found in legal files. You know, like if there's somewhere to send it, that she could find it someday. Who knows?
Who knows?
Okay,
indeed.
I'm just rambling. All right, no, thank you, dear,
thank
for doing
you for
this.
Having me on. I appreciate it.
I love listening
Janet.
To you. So until next time, this is Janet Gowan saying goodbye, and thank you, Naomi Raymond, for telling us this very convoluted, difficult story.
Thank you,
I mean,
you,
difficult
Janet.
Because it's so complicated.
Indeed.
Thank you, dear.